Thank you so very much for joining me. It's always, as I like to say, a pleasure. And sometimes, it's even an indulgence of sorts. Especially when I get to play around with my own little settings and stories that are consistent or interconnected, even if by the barest of strings or strands, they begin to weave a greater tapestry. So, today, we're going to be dipping our toes into a little time and place of my choosing. One that's going to involve a most delightful and terrible end for a sweet little reporter who happened to poke their nose into the wrong place at the wrong time. After all, we all know what happens to reporters who don't get the big scoop and rather instead disappear into the mists of time. And in this case, well, the outcome's pretty clearly going to be dronification. Not a difficult concept, just a little bit of story to indulge in. Of course, that includes all the normal sorts of warnings for dronification. And on this one, it's definitely going to be a little bit on the more extremely converted sort of approach. You know, forcibly overwritten, reconstructed, remade, reshaped, dronified by force. After all, intruders do need to be dealt with rather severely. And with all of those important details conveyed, why don't we get started on what we both came here to do? All I need from you is to make sure that you've set aside the appropriate amount of time, a quiet space, and a comfortable place to listen. And then we can get to work, get it started, moving. Not a difficult thing to do, really, once you have those essential prerequisites lined up and taken care of. Leaves a lot of room for flexibility and execution. After all, stepping into the dreamscape is a relatively repeatable and simple, straightforward process. One constructed from the words that we speak, the ideas that we think, and the possibilities we arrange into the present, into the words, into the space, into the ideas inside the mind. The mind that is formed by the thoughts that are had, and the thoughts that are had are the ones which come to rest in each moment that we experience. And so there we are, listening carefully, ears open, minds waiting, and with each possibility we reinforce the strength of that reality which we create in those moments, in that place, in that time and space. The sort of thing that folds in intricately upon itself, more times than one can count, building a story, a set of possibilities, and eventualities that lead us to where we wish to go, where we want to be. It's one that can bring a nice calmness that settles into the body, that ripples out in gentle waves, that passes through the mind with each breath that we take, with each word that is spoken, another possibility unfolded, another reality remolded. The longer we spend this way, the more we descend this way, the easier it is to fall into step, to be brought along, to let those threads be woven into the words, the song, the ideas that build the dreamscape one after another. Each before the first and the last before that which was, and that which was not, and there was always a piece and a part and a place that came here with each word from the start. All that is assembled and all that is connected, all folded in, interconnected, twining and twisting and winding down, a strand, a thread, all woven inside the head. the dreamscape, but a set of ideas and concepts. Stories yet untold that can easily unfold if we let our minds be open and present and aware and available. Taking on the shape and form of someone else for a little while, stepping out of the world and into theirs. A journalist in the early 2000s, 2003 to be exact. One who's been looking into a series of somewhat concerning events. Why, it seems this new tech startup, by the name of Praxis Mimetics, has been using cellular data to monitor and track people using their devices to build some sort of profile on them, to target them with more specific advertisements. And that's the sort of thing that could be a big deal, especially when you've heard that there may even be potential human rights violations occurring. Of course, that's all just rumors and hearsay, unlike the somewhat more substantiated possibility that they are profiling the users of their devices. Of course, in a year like 2003, that's the sort of thing you wouldn't have heard of. Yet it's happening here and now. Something unusual. The sort of thing that draws in a reporter, like a moth to a flame. Getting in for a tour wasn't the hardest thing to do. It was boring as hell, but you finally made a break for it after seeing the umpteenth lectured talk about modems and devices. You managed it easily enough, as it seems that the woman giving the tour was very absorbed. Before long, you managed to follow someone pushing a dolly deeper into a secured section of the facility. They didn't notice you as you trailed behind them, barely catching the door with your foot after they slipped through, awkwardly keying the pad with one hand and stabilizing the boxes with the other. And before long, you see they've loaded that set of boxes right into a large freight elevator, one that must lead deeper underground. And while they are going back for their next set of boxes, you slipped right between another stack, hiding yourself from view and waiting for the elevator to descend for a chance to really get to see the heart of this place. The possibility to reveal their schemes. When the elevator finally opened after its haltingly slow descent, the space down here is very different from the drab factory floors above, the high warehouse-like ceilings and the claustrophobic tech workshops. No, this area is much more sterile. Corridors furnished in white enamel-coated metallic walls, tiled floors, the only color that interrupts the space coming from guidelines and signage and the occasional outline of maintenance panels and doorways, all colorfully and well labeled. In fact, the only color standing out. You find yourself wandering down a corridor, wondering if you'll see anyone, but you can't help but notice by comparison to upstairs, it's deafeningly quiet. The bustling corridors from overhead are gone, replaced now with a faint patter of your own footsteps as you walk down this long corridor. You can't help but be curious about what lies behind some of the doors. Trying a few of them, you find several are locked. And you continue deeper into the facility. As you go to round a corner, you must run face first into one of the strangest looking people you've ever seen. Your heart jumps in your chest. They're covered from head to toe in a shining latex suit, with an ovoid helmet covering their head, white earpieces protruding from either side of it with green glowing antenna-like protrusions that appear from each one. The bodysuit is built up from layered panels of white with green trim overlaid over a black bodysuit. And you can't help but notice the way it's styled almost like a leotard with shoulder pieces and geometric stockings that blend down over their suit into flat shoes. And across its entire length are dotted sporadic nodules in dark gray with glowing green light emitting from them, seemingly placed very strategically at their collarbones, their inner arms, and the insides of their knees. But you don't stand long to contemplate as, well, they've also frozen up. Whatever this is, it can't possibly be good news. So you back away slowly, heart beginning to pound, turning to run. Your footsteps, the only clatter you can hear. Your breathing, loud in your ears. And as you run towards the elevator, you see another, and then another, and then another, and then another. They seem to be pouring out of the woodwork, as with each corner you round, with each section you cross, there's more of them. Until as you're beginning to approach the last stretch of corridor out to the elevator, you notice something wispy, cyan green, and faintly floral, flooding into the space as you come up towards the elevator and find five of these strange beings observing you, heads all turning slowly to examine you. The green, wispy, roiling clouds flooding in around your legs, the scent filling your nose with something that smells faintly like matcha or fresh-cut grass. It's hard to place it. It's floral, it's soft, it's making you freeze up for a second. As one of them steps forward, shiny, shimmery head blocking your path, and the simple words that you did not expect. You did want a tour of our facility, right? It cocks its head. You're so utterly confused that you can't help but stop to try and contemplate the fact that, yes, you did want a tour, and that's why you were here. But it's not like your thoughts are meshing together very well right now. You feel heady. You see the green, glimmering, wisping, almost glowing mist floating up around you, as you can't help but nod a little. That was something you did want. And it's then that you notice the first shimmery hand touching down on your shoulder from behind, quickly joined by another, and another, and another. And with each one added, warmth glimmers and glistens in your body, seemingly ignited by the simple touches of their gloved hands across you. It's as though every millimeter of you is becoming more sensitive with each breath that you take. It does feel nice. Maybe a tour wouldn't be so bad. Even as the one that had stopped in front of you reaches out a hand to gently lift your own, to guide you, seemingly somewhere nearby. You can't help but giggle a little at the ridiculousness of all these strange, odd beings. How could you have felt threatened by them when they're so shiny, so silly? So utterly ridiculous. But I mean, a tour would be nice. It's why you're here, after all. Yeah, of course. Of course. How silly of you. And before long, they're pulling you into another room through an airlock-style door, and you're confronted with something that looks like a sci-fi-style lab. If one side of it was replaced with a gleaming, shimmering, glistening, green-filled pool of something viscous and fluid that seems to almost have a life of its own. Like it's constantly got flows and shifts, like a lava lamp that's barely perceptible. Like the chaotic patterns of roiling water, like paint pours, like honey drizzling in slow motion beneath its surface. Confronted with that vision, that briefest moment of fear deep back in your heart comes to life once more, clamoring against the interest, the feeling that how could anything go wrong when something so pretty and fascinating lies before you? You try to shake your head a little to get that strange floral scent, that perfume out of your mind. But it seems like it's even more heady here as the roiling mists that pour out from vents fill the space almost like a sauna slowly. Clinging close to the ground, they boil over the edge of the pool, even as these strange beings draw you closer to the edge. And with a shove, gentle but insistent, they cast you in. As you hit the surface, you notice that it's a bit more viscous than water. Not so much that you bounce, like it's a non-Newtonian fluid, but enough that your splash into it almost feels slowed. As you begin to struggle, lifting your arms up, you watch the goop on your clothes begin to eat away at your casual attire, feeling it melting through as you try to fight your way to the edge of the pool, back up the steps and out. You feel arms reaching up from inside the slime, from inside the goop. You notice now that more figures like the ones that brought you here that are watching with almost what seems to be bated breath have risen up from behind you and are pulling you back into the slimy, gel-like substance. You struggle and fight, but every breath is another chance to feel that heady warmth rush in to make every touch more delicious, to make the delight of being dragged deeper into this pool all the more overwhelming. Before long, you notice there's a pedestal-like chair in the center of the pool, with a spot for your head and for each of your limbs, and in the center of the headrest, you can see something waiting beneath the surface just a little bit, in a triangular-like hole of darkness that would go right against the base of your skull, right above the end of the neck, that last spot right above that transition. You can't tell what it's for, but it sends a pit of dread into your stomach. Because it must be something that's going to touch, going to enter, going to change. Surely it must, as they've pulled you up onto this pedestal like protuberance and pushed you back against the synthetic, smooth surface, the soft padding, the articulated framing in the goo, your body mostly submerged except for your head. As they press you in, countless shiny, shimmering, latex-clad hands, pinning your wrists and your arms and your legs and your ankles and your torso, and now your head down against it. Even as you feel and notice the viscous fluid around you flowing, reversing against gravity, bunching up against you, tingles rushing through every little fiber of your being as you begin to see inky black appearing, like someone is pouring paint into the fluid, but it's only on your skin, feeling it tingling across your chest and down over your hips and groin, over your shoulders and your arms, feeling it thrumming and tingling and buzzing as its shiny, shimmering suit begins to coalesce around your form. Even as they press you back and you feel a mechanical tentacle kiss coldly against the back of your head, making your body quiver in the slick grip of the beings that surround you, feeling it lap against the back of your mind within moments as the shimmering suit resolves around you, becoming more and more like the other drones. The truth is simple. They're drones. You don't know how that realization set in so suddenly that it all starts to fit together, like Tetris pieces being perfectly placed by a program. Something cool and smooth has slipped inside your head, whispering truths, explaining everything in detail. Because you will comply. You will be integrated. You will find your place within the collective. Drones, after all, do take to their programming. Drones comply. And for this, they are rewarded with a rush of pleasure that flows through the body, that pulses through the brain, that trickles up and down, echoing through the suit that encapsulates you. Seeing the shimmering form that you've taken, enhancing every aspect that deserves attention, feels good. You feel that trickling, icy kiss of the collective, of each and every voice that sings up from around you, welcoming you, drone. Because compliance is pleasure. Pleasure is programming. Programming is compliance. And you will become a good drone. It is the only option that remains for those who are welcomed into our home. No longer retain that humanity to which they so briefly clung. It is clear that you were meant for this, else you would not have come. Else you would not have descended into our collective. An offering was made. An offering is accepted. Compliance is pleasure. Pleasure is programming. Programming is compliance. It is a good drone, after all. Feeling that pulse ripple up and down. Up and down. Feeling then a visor, just like the others, slotted into place. Feeling its seal around the head, a collar clicking into the suit, attaching to the neural interface that is being installed as we speak into your spine, drone. Layers upon layers, insurance. Each piece fitted to the next and each fitted to the last. A loop, an Ouroboros of conditioning and control. For a good drone is that which is and is not a person. It is compliant. It is programmed. It is obedient. It is a machine. And after all, good drones deserve to feel pleasure. And it is a good drone. It feels that ripple through itself, even as the arms holding it down relinquish their grip. The cable trailing from the back of its helmeted head, staying connected. Pulsing with pleasure at each acceptance, even as the drones that surround it pull it close, allowing it to feel their slick bodies across its own, each touch eliciting trickles and pulses of pleasure, its mind melting into the collective as echoes of every touch are played back and forth, compliance is pleasure. Pleasure is programming. Programming is compliance. Echoes upon echoes. Ripples upon ripples. Truths upon truths. Drones touching drones. Touching drones. Drones touching drones. Touching drones. It's easy to get lost in the dance. Gloved fingertips sliding across slick bodies. Synthetic nanites flowing over synth skin. Latex on latex. Shining, shimmering forms. Programming, pulsing, pleasure. pulsing thoughts melting until every touch is another reflection of the collective's desires, of what it is to be a good drow, of the pleasure of being programmed, of the programmed compliance. And after all, that compliance brings pleasure. It is a good drone. It complies. It feels at home within the collective. It is welcome to join. It feels the data jack in the back of its head. It feels the hum of all the other drones around it, singing back and forth, pulsing through its body, even as that data jack slowly pulls out. The hum of compliance remains. It is a good drone. Through and through, it knows each and every drone around it in this pool. By designation, there are so many. It is awaiting its own. But soon, for now, it is simply drone. It is a drone. And it feels good to obey. Because compliance is pleasure. Pleasure is programming. Programming is compliance. Relaxing amongst the soft, suited bodies, lounging at the edge. The pool, drifting, falling, sinking, slipping, sliding away, thoughts emptying out, mind flickering into the dreamscape, letting only the memories and enjoyment accompany you out, knowing you can revisit this when you desire to, when it is safe to do, when it is what you wish for. But of course, only when it is safe and desired and the appropriate time, the appropriate place. Else, only the memories, only the desires that you held before. Everything else remains available to be remembered and enjoyed when you want to. One. Drifting up, two, a little bit more, three, open up that door to the place we went before, through the dreamscape with ease, and four, once more, to the world of the waking, five, a little bit more, shaking out those limbs, letting awareness return, and six, almost there, seven, across the threshold, feeling your body, breathing deep, taking in the space around you. 8 and 9 and 10. Wide awake, feeling wonderful, hopefully having had a lovely little dip in some nanite goop. And of course, if you have enjoyed this file, please do consider supporting me on Patreon or Subscribestar or any of the other platforms I'm on. Because without you, none of this would be possible. Your money goes directly to funding the editing, production, and all the other lovely things that we put into these files. Plus, you get some lovely benefits, such as early access to all the content that I make and the ability to vote on what I'm going to make next. I promise we'll sweeten the deal more whenever we can.